Begin the current daf in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, daf Chav Beis. We begin four lines daf in the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnahs, which discussed regarding the halachas of Kiddush HaChadosh and how that's done. How does Bezdin sanctify the new month based on the renewal of the moon? It's based on the Eidus, the testimony of two witnesses that come and say that they saw the glimpse of the new moon, then they say that today will be Rosh Chodesh. So the Mishnah tells us the following machloikis. Tanakama says, Av ubenoy shiroes achidush, a father and his son that saw the new moon, yelchu, they should go to Bezdin regarding the Kiddush HaChadosh. Now, loishim and starfin zemzeh, it's not because they could combine one with the other, but rather a father and the son are relatives, and relatives cannot say testimony together. Elishim yipasil echad men, rather it's one of them will become invalidated because of the words that he'll say, because they would be baidik, they would investigate every single aid test that his testimony to make sure that it's correct, as Gemara later on will explain. So then it means to say then yitzar fashedim acha, then the second one will then go ahead and combine with another one. So the father and son should go, not because they both can do together, but rather if there's going to be another individual that one of them could go ahead and combine with him. Shimon Eimer, he says actually, Ava benoy b'chala kreivim, a father and a son, all relatives, kisherin leitz lachedish, although they're generally invalid for general testimony regarding court cases, but regarding the renewal of the moon, that law of Eidus, relatives are kosher. Now, Amr B'Yasi illustrates this machlekes with the following story. Ma'aseh b'Tuvi HaRofe, there was a story with Tuvi the doctor, she'ra'as HaChidosh b'Yerushalayim, he saw the renewal of the new month in Yerushalayim, hu u'b'nai v'avdi m'shocha, he was him, himself, and his freed slave. Now, v'kiblo ha'kahanim oisav es b'nai, the kahanim received him and his son, because like Reb Shimon, u'paslos avdim, they said his slave, he's invalid because he doesn't come from a proper lineage. So he's invalid, but the father and the son, they said, was like Reb Shimon that you could say the Eidus. Ukshabol of Nebezim, when they came in front of Bezdin in Yerushalayim, Kiblu Oysoy V'yes Avdei, they accepted him and his slave to be the Eidim. Upaslo Esbenai, but they invalidated his son, like the Tanakam, who said that no, relatives are not Kosher Eidus HaChadosh. Now, Amar Rebbe Levi comes to explain, says, my time with Reb Shimon. What's the reason Reb Shimon generally relatives are invalid to say testimony together? Why over here would we say that Eidus HaChadosh is different? So now the Gemara says, the Chesed says a passing in Shemais. It says, V'yem Hashem al Moshe bel Aaron be'etem Yisrael lema. Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying as follows, HaChadosh is Elohim, which this is the source of Kiddush HaChadosh, this month, which is the renewal of the moon, should be for you. What that means is that Eidzu, this testimony of the renewal of the month, take share b'chem, should be kosher with the two of you. Now, Moshe and Aaron are brothers, and in spite of that, we see that they're both going to be kosher. So we see, like Reb Shimon, that Eidus HaChadosh is kosher with Kriv. The Gemara asks Rabbanan, what do Rabbanan do with that pasuk? They learn Eidusu Tehe Mesur Lachem. What it means to say is that this testimony is given over to the two of you. In other words, you're the Chashuvi Hadar, you're the Gedolim, you're the greatest of the generations. You're the ones that should receive the witnesses' testimony to be Mekadosh HaChadosh. But nothing to do about making them kosher for Eidus. It's just saying regarding Bezdin, that just should be the greatest Bezdin, it's always the Bezdin Yerushalayim, they're the ones that go ahead and pask in this halacha about Kiddush HaChadosh, but not regarding the Eidus. And that is regarding Eidus, brothers, relatives are not kosher. So the Mishnah said that Rama B'Yesi says, Maisa B'Tuvi HaRofe Chulu, that there was a story with Tuvi HaRofe, that although the Kahanim said, like Reb Shimon, but the Bezdin HaGadol ended up saying, like the opinion of the Tanakama, that relatives, the father and son, were not kosher. Now, Amr Avchana Bar Rava, he says, Hilchas like Reb Shimon, Halachas like Reb Shimon, that father and son, relatives are kosher. Amr Rav Huna Avchana Bar Rava, he asked him, Reb Yesi Umaisa, you have Reb Yesi, who, he's also quoting this story, which is that the Bezdin, as the Tanakama, who said that relatives are possible, the Ad Amr Hilchas like Reb Shimon, and you then say, even though we have all this evidence, otherwise, Halachas like Reb Shimon, that they are kosher? So Amalai, they said to him, look, there was many times that I sent in front of Rab the halachas like Reb Shimon, and he didn't tell me anything. So how can you tell me halachas not like Reb Shimon if I said this in front of Rab and he didn't argue? So Amalai, they said to him, wait, hey Chetanis, how did you teach our mission in front of Rab? Who's the one that says kasher? Who's the one that says pasul? So Amalai, they said to him, ipcha. In other words, he told him that I taught it, that it was Reb Yesi that said that the father and the son and all the relatives are kasher, and Reb Shimon was the one that said the story with Tobiah. So Malaysi said, oh, of course that's why he didn't say anything to you, because you switched Reb Shimon with Reb Yesi. He didn't tell you anything, because when you said halachas like Reb Shimon, that was essentially what, in our opinion of our Mishnah, is like Reb Yesi, where that relatives are apostles, so therefore the halacha is not like Reb Shimon. halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, the relatives are not kosher. When you sit in front of halacha, it's like Rabbi Shimon, because you had switched opinions, and that's why I didn't argue in you. But again, the way our version has it, halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, and rather like Rabbi Yosi. Now, Amar Tavi Berei, the Mari Tavi, Amar Mar Ukva, Amar Shmuel, the halacha is, halachas like Rabbi Shimon, halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon, that relatives are kosher. But actually, there are many girsahs to have the girsah of Ein, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, and that relatives are not kosher. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah regarding the Eidus HaChedesh again, about the different witnesses to say testimony who are invalid to say this. So the Mishnah tells us, Eilehin Absulin. These are the witnesses that are invalid for Eidus HaChedesh. Hamasachet B'kuvya, those that play with dice, which is that they take pieces of bone that they play with, that they gamble with. Now the Rabbanan tell us a klal which is called Asmacht Loikanya, which is that if a person is relying on the fact when someone's gambling, he's not expecting to lose. Therefore, when the other one takes the winnings, he's essentially rabbinically stealing, because they're saying that he really didn't want to give up. He didn't go in with that understanding that he's going to have to give up money. He thought he was going to win. So then rabbinically, we consider that stealing. Now, biblically, that's not considered stealing. It's only somebody that actually goes and grabs something from his friend, as the Pasuk in Shmuel Bey says, the Yigzal HaSachanus Miyad HaMitzi, he went and he stole, we see the terminology of stealing, the spear from the hand of the Egyptians when you take it from someone else. But these are considered rabbinically stealing. Another one is Umali Berivis. Someone that loans money on interest, where again, he's also not a biblical robber, stealer, because if it were to be biblically, then you would not be kosher for Eidus, because that's what the Pasuk says in Shmos Chav Gimel, Atashas Eid Chamas, you should not have a thief together with you as an Eid. So that's the biblical prohibition of having someone that's a Goslin, a Taira, to testify. But these cases, again, are only rabbinic, because here the person is giving it willingly. Now he doesn't want to, and essentially rabbinically we consider that stealing, because he's not supposed to loan on interest, but it's only rabbinic. Similarly, umafrichiyainim, those that have their pigeons to fly, where they race the pigeons, similar to the case of Masacha B'Kuvya, where it says whoever's pigeon is going to get there first. It's also a type of gambling where, again, it's rabbinically considered stealing, because people don't expect to lose, and therefore when you're taking the winnings, you're stealing from him. B'secher Shvias, and those that do merchandise, they sell produce from the seventh year of Shemitah, where the Torah tells us that that's forbidden. It's only la'achla, the Torah tells you, but not for schar, not for business. Now, the reason of all these cases that we consider rabbinically prohibited is because we suspect these individuals that they'll violate prohibitions, the Jewish law, because of money. And therefore, we suspect them that they're going to say false testimony because of money and bribery, which, as we'll later explain, that there were times of Beisusim and Kutim that they wanted to get to intervene and to disrupt the actual Kiddush HaChedesh. And therefore, we suspect these individuals that they're going to get bribed to do it because they're already suspicious that they do these types of things that are rabbinically stealing. And included in this category of those that are forbidden, that are prohibited to say testimony, is Vavadim, our slaves, which they're actually biblically prohibited. And that's Kal Vachomer from a woman, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Baba Kama Daf Peches, where a woman cannot say testimony. So definitely an Eved is not going to be allowed to say testimony. Now the Mishnah concludes, Zeha Kal, this is the general rule. Kal Eidus She'eino Isha K'sherila, any testimony which a woman is not fit for, Afheinen K'sherila, they're also not fit for, and therefore since the woman cannot say Eidus HaChedesh, these individuals also cannot. Now the Gemara makes an inference, however. Ha Isha K'sherila, but something that the woman can testify for example, regarding a woman to say that her husband had passed away so that she could go ahead and remarry, a woman is believed. So too regarding a saita, a suspected adulterous woman, who she was secluded with another man, that the woman could say testimony regarding that infidelity, that which will then stop the woman from to drinking the mei saita, a woman is believed. So on that, the Gemara makes an inference, afhen k'sherila, that means to say that these cases of the Mishnah, that are also valid for. Because we're saying that what she's not, they're not. What she is, sounds like they are also. So Ravashi, Zayzaner said, this is the conclusion, that Gazan de Devrehem, although these cases in the Mishnah, those which were rabbinically considered thieves, Kesherin Le'edah Se'isha, that they are valid to say the testimony of a woman to allow her to go ahead and remarry, to say that her husband had died. Now, as Rashi says, what the Gemara is telling us is only those that are rabbinically considered thieves. But someone that's considered biblically a thief, where he's such a chatzav, he has such audacity to go ahead and violate a biblical transgression out in the open, where he just goes and grabs something thing away, that such a person, the Chum, did not allow them to say this Eidus for the woman to go ahead and remarry, to say that he saw her husband had died. Because although we allow a woman and a slave, which are also biblically prohibited, But here it's not because that they're considered a biblical thief, which we would allow eight chamas. It's just because he's such a chatziv, so that he's so audacious that we wouldn't allow him to say any testimony because we don't believe him. And that's why it's only because he gazlan the devrayim, which are puzzle for kiddush hachaydish and for other types of edus, where regarding the cases of the woman and where the site where we allow women, then we would allow these individuals too, again, but not a gazlan deraisim. Now the Gemara concludes with the next Mishnah, the first parak, where again is talking about the idea of that the edus that saw the kiddush hachaydish, that saw the renewal, the mailah, that they can go ahead and tell the go be mechal Shabbos to say testimony, to go beyond their tchum in Yerushalayim to say the edus. So the Mishnah tells us, Misharas hachaydish, ve'en yochal halach. Someone saw the new moon, but he can't go. So then, Melicha Meisra al-Khamar, we could actually transport him on a donkey, even on Shabbos, and a filibimita, even on a bed. Now, ve'im tzaydilhem, if let's say there are those who are waiting in ambush on the road, and that's because, as Gemara will explain, that the Baisusim and the Kutim, they would try to ambush them, to prevent them, because they wanted to confuse the Chacham, that they shouldn't have the Kiddush HaChadosh in the appropriate time. So Leichem Yod Maklis, they could even carry along with them sticks. If it was a far trip, Leichem Yod Mezainis, they could even take food with them. Now the Mishnah concludes, however, Shal Mahalich Laila B'Yoyim Mechal Shabbos. It's only for a journey that takes night and a day, meaning within one day, and then you can Mechal Shabbos. And but then the Yitzchak Leitz Lachaydish, and then you could even go out to say testimony. You could go beyond your tchum. You could do certain Chilas Shabbos for the testimony of the month. Again, not if it's more than that, because you can't be Mechal Shabbos for Sunday. Shneim, like it says in the pasuk, Eila Meyad Hashem. These are the set times of Hashem, Asher Tikra Eisam Yadim, which should be called out in their appropriate times. Which seems to say that even on Shabbos, if this is the time, go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos. That Besen could call out that today is the day of Rosh Chodesh. Hanu Lachaba Rosh Hashanim. We shall return to you the first parak of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, parak Abba Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara continues with the second parak, again continuing on these themes of Kiddush HaChodesh, with the parak Im Ein Makirin. So the Mishnah tells us, Im Ein Makirin Oisek. If Bezin doesn't recognize this aid, this witness, if he's believed, if he's a kosher, maybe he's a thief, we don't know what type of person he is, if he's believed or not, if his aid should be trusted. We'll check him out to see what he's saying, if it's true. But he might be intrinsically not an aid. If let's say he's a gazlan, even though his case of Mesacha Bekuvi is a gambler. So what they did was, Mishalchin, the Bezdin from the city of the aid, would send Imei with him, Achar Le'ide, he would send others with him to say testimony on him in front of the Bezna Gadol that he's a believed person, and then he would say his Eidus in front of the Bezna Gadol, who they're the ones that Mekadosh L'Chodesh. Now, the Mishnah explains the reason for this. B'Rishayna, originally, they would accept the testimony of the new moon from everybody. Now, Mishnah Kilkul HaBeisusim, but when the Beisusim, which are those that don't believe in the Oral Torah, they started making problems, as Gemara will explain, So then they began that they only accept edus from those that they recognize. And if they don't recognize, then you have to send some type of a testimony from your bezdin with witnesses that can go ahead and testify about you, that you're believed, and then we'll accept the testimony from you. Now the Gemara first asked that, so it said, we send others along with him if they don't know who he is. So the Gemara asked, my acha, what does it sound like when it says in the Mishnah that they send another along with him? It sounds like chad, another one person. That the Gemara continues in Amud Beis, V'chad Mehemen, is one person believed to say that this person is kosher, that that with a chazaka, that he has an assumption of being believed? But V'tani, we learn a braisa that says, Ma'isa Shebahu, there was a story with someone, with an aide, that came in front of the Bezin on Shabbos to say testimony regarding the new moon, which we said you're allowed to come on Shabbos, the aide of Imai, and he had his witnesses with him to say that he's believed, Lehed Olav, to say testimony about him. So you see that you need plural aidim and not just one aid. So Rabbi Papa says, you're right. My achar, what does it mean that Mishnah when we say that they would send another along with him? It means zug achar, another peer with him. Because actually, hachana mestabra, it makes sense to say that. Because the ilay tema achar, if you wouldn't say that achar means to say another peer, but then when the Mishnah says him, inan mekirin oisoiv, they don't recognize him. My oisoiv, what does it mean him? Ilay oisoiv, it means to say this one person, what do you mean, chad mi mehemen? Is one person believed to go ahead and say the Eidus HaChodesh? But it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Mishpat Ksivbe, it says regarding Kiddush HaChodesh, it says the idea of justice, of judgment. Like it says, Kichak Li Yisrael Hu Mishpat. Where if it's calling it Mishpat, Mishpat we know needs to have Apishnaim Eidim Yakam Dov. You need to have two Eidim. So Elamai Oisei, what would the Mishnah mean when it says him? It means Oisei Azug, this peer. It's in the singular because it's calling the peer one item. So Achinami Ma'echer, what does it mean over here when it says in the singular, another, it means Zugachar, another pair, and therefore that's what it is. You need to have one pair of Eidus to say it. If they're not recognized, then you send another pair to go out and say testimony on them. Now, the Gemara asked on that. The Chadloi Mehemen, is it really true that one person is not believed to say Eidus about the aid who's coming to say the Eidus HaChadosh? But by time in the Braisa that says, Maisib Reb Nairoi, there was an incident with Reb Nairoi, Shahalach Eitzel Ha'aid, that he went to the aid, Lahoid Olav B'Shabbos B'Usha. Not only did we say that you can Mechal Shabbos if you saw the new moon, but if you're an aid for the aid to say that he's kosher, that Reb Nairoi himself was Mechal Shabbos to go to Usha with us, and Hedron was over there, where they were Mekadosh the Chaydish, to say testimony about the aid, because he didn't see it, that person saw it, but they didn't know who he was. So he went on Shabbos. So you see that one person, Reb Nairoi, he went. So the Gemara says, Amri, they said, no, Reb Nairoi sahada achrina havabade. There actually was another aid with Reb Nairoi, because we said you have to have two aidim. The reason why he's not recounted in that story is Mishum Kivaydish Reb Nairoi, it's because of the honor of Reb Nairoi. And that is because, what's the whole reason why the story was significant that they mentioned Reb Nairoi? It's that we want to learn from him, because even such a great person like him was Noig Heter, meaning he permitted the Chil of Shabbos, and that to say that even he went to go ahead just to say testimony about someone else. Now, it's not honorable that we should bring our proof also from that lesser person that went along with him. Because if we would mention both, it would sound like, oh, we're bringing support from both. That's not Bakavad that we're trying to say. That even the Gavla Dar and whoever it is that went with him, but we don't want to mention him, that's why it says when, but really there was someone else with him. Another approach to the Gemara says, Rav Ashiyam, he says, actually, Reb Nairoi, Sahada Achrin Havaba Usha. There was another person in Usha already there that knew that aid. Just they needed another person. V'az Reb Nairoi, let's serve about that. And Reb Nairoi went to join him. That's why it only mentions him, because he was the only one that went. But because there was already another aid there, and he joined with him. Now the Gemara says, Ihach, if that's the case, Amayla Memra, what's the chiddush in that? If, of course, like, you can go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos if there's already someone else there, so we have the two aidim. Nothing more says that. Ma de tema misveka. I would have thought to say that when there's a doubt, because maybe that person, that other aid, that other one that's going to join on the road, is not home. So maybe out of doubt, loy mechalin shabbat, you now be mechal Shabbos, because maybe he's coming in vain, because he's coming to say aidus about that aid, and if the other guy's not home, he won't be able to join with someone else. That's the chiddush of the story, even though he's not even sure if he's going to meet up with that person. But out of the doubt, even that allows him to go ahead and be mechal Shabbos, to go ahead to say testimony about that person, on the suffix that he's going to meet that other person. Now the Gemara says, related to Kiyasa Ula, when Ula came to Bavel, Amar he said, Kedshu'ali Yarchib Amarav, he said that they were Mekadosh to Chaydish, they made the new month in Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Rav Kana says regarding this, he says, Lo'i Mebayu Ula, we don't have to tell you regarding Ula, the Gavarabu, who he's a great person, to Mehemen that he's believed, even though he's one person, to say that they're Mekadosh to Chaydish in Eretz Yisrael. Even a regular person is believed if he comes and says that you're Mekadosh to Chaydish. My time. Huh? Because Kamilsa David Lagluy, anything that is ultimately going to be revealed, that people are going to find out, no one lies about. And therefore, since this is something that will become known, we believe anyone that comes and tells us. Someone from the other end of the world comes, and he says that Bezin was Mekadosh Chaydish, Naman, he's believed, again, because someone wouldn't lie about something that everyone's going to find out the truth ultimately anyway. Now the Mishnah told us, originally, they would accept the testimony from anybody. But then the Beisusim started making trouble, and then they said, look, we're not going to accept anyone until we know about him. And therefore, if they don't know him, his Bezin from his city has to send along Eidim with him to testify regarding him. So the Gemara brings a Braisa that clarifies this. Turn on. Learn the Braisa. Ma kilkul kilkulah Beisusim. What was this that the Beisusim did that they started messing things up? So the Braisa tells us that Pamachas one time, Bikshu Beisusim lahatis es chacham. The Beisusim, again, that's the group of the sect in the Jewish people that didn't believe in the Torah Shabbat Peh. So they wanted to confuse and confound the chacham, the Bezdin, and the Eretz Yisrael. And what happened was that the 30th day of Adar came out on Shabbos. Now, the Chaydish was not near Bezman, which means to say that they didn't see it on the first day possible that you could make the next month, the month of Nisan, which would be on the 30th day of Adar. Now, but the Beisusim, they really desired that the first day of Pesach should be on Shabbos. And therefore, they wanted that Rish Chaydish should be on Shabbos, so that 15 days later, Pesach, the first day, will be on Shabbos. Now, the reason why they wanted that was because the day of the Omer, which is the day after the first day of Pesach, that should be on Sunday. Similarly, they wanted that Shavuot should be on Sunday. Now, the reason why is because they expound, since they go with the literal translation of the Torah, now it's the Torah Shabbat Peh, when it says, Mimachers HaShabbos Yinefeno, that the day after Shabbos is when you do the Omer, that it means the day after the Shabbos Bereishis, what we call Shabbos, which is not like the Chacham interpreted, that it's a reference to Pesach. Now, because of that, they wanted to make sure that today, the day 30, they'll be Mekadosh L'Chodesh, so that way, Pesach will be on Shabbos, and therefore we'll be able to fulfill what we consider the Torah, which is only Torah Shabbat Sav, the day after Shabbos, the 16th of Nisan, will be the day after Shabbos. Now, therefore what they did was, they hired two people, paying them together 400 zuz, to say testimony, falsely, that they saw the moon today, and therefore Bezdin will be Mekadosh L'Chodesh, they'll have Pesach on Shabbos, and they'll have Mimachas HaShabbos, and they'll have the same thing for Shavuos, which has to be counted from after Shabbos. Now, they hired two people, Echad Mishalanu, one of ours, meaning of what's called Anshei Shlomeinu, one of our people, but they didn't recognize that he's not from the Besus and the Siddukim. Echad Mishalanu, one of them was from those, their people. Now, Shalahem, hey, they do Sabiyatza. So their person came in first to say testimony about Bezdin. He said his testimony and he left. Shalanu Amalai, the one of ours, he was really one of ours, he came and told Bezdin, and they told him, Emer Ketzad Risa Levon, they told him, how do you see Levana? Because they always would check to make sure what the testimony was. So Amalai told him this following story. It says, Ulo Hayisi b'mal adum. What happened was I was walking up on top by Mal Adumim, Ve'isiv, and I saw the moon, Shuravitz ben Beislam, that it was crouching between two rocks. Roishoy doim le'egel, its head was similar to a calf. Aznav doim le'gedi, its ears were similar to a kid, goat. Karnav doim le'tzvi, its horns were similar to that of a deer. V'znavoy munachas le'ben yarchaisav, and its tail was hanging between its legs. V'tzatziba, and I looked at it, meaning the moon. V'ner tartin, I shook, v'nefalt lachar, and I fell backwards. Now, v'mein hatim aminle, if you don't believe me, meaning this tall tale of mine, what, I have 200 zuz that's packaged me with me in my kerchief. So basically he was alluding to them that this is one big bogus story, and I even have money that I was bribed to tell this story. So Amalai Sebezin told me, who put you up to this? So Amalhem, he said to them, look, Shemati Shabik Shabai Susim Lahatiskam, I heard that the Baisusim wanted to fool the Chacham. Amarti Elechanis, I said, let me go, Vaidilahem, and I'll let it be known. Because Shem Yivoy ben Adam Shein Mogan, maybe there's really, they're going to get some unscrupulous individuals. If Yitzel come, they'll actually fool the Chacham, and it's going to be not right. It's going to be the wrong day, Rosh Chodesh. So Amalei Sebezin told him, look, Masayim Zuz Nesun L'cha B'matana, the 200 Zuz that they gave you is yours as a gift, and you're allowed to hold on to it. Now, although you never fulfilled your condition for the ones that hired you, but it's within Bezin's domain to penalize money and to make that hefker, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos, that hefker Bezin is hefker, what they declare homeless, based on the pasuk, whoever doesn't come within 3 days, as we find the pasuk in Ezra, that Yachem kol rechushai, his properties will be declared homeless. And vasarchecha yimasach alo amad, and whoever hired you, they'll be spread out on the pillar, which basically means to get lashes, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Makos, that they would tie the two hands on the pillar, and they'll get punished. Mark concludes, at that moment was when they instituted Shalei Mekablin El Mekirin, that we should only accept witnesses from those that we recognize, because Beisusim were trying to hire witnesses to fool Chacham, and therefore we had to know beforehand that it was a kasher, and then we can go ahead and make sure that the verification is true, but we had to take care of those problems of Beisusim. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah and tells us that this is not the only area that the Besusim tried making trouble, meaning with the Eden who saw the new moon or didn't, that they should come and have the witnesses come, where there they tried making trouble. That's one phase. But after Bezin is Mekadosh L'Chodesh, then they tell everybody in the diaspora when exactly that is. That's another arena where the Besusim tried messing things up, and therefore they have to change that protocol too. As the Mishnah tells us, Berishayna, originally, after the Eden would come and they knew which was that this is the new month, whether it's day 30, 31, then Hayimasid Masuas, they would go ahead and wave these torches. In other words, after they would be Mekadosh L'Chodesh, and they didn't need to originally hire what we had said in previous davim, shluchim, messengers, to go out to the diaspora to tell everybody, because they would just let it be known with these signals of the torches. But Mishakilkel HaKutim, when the Kutim started making trouble, in this case it was the Kutim, where they would also go ahead and wave their torches, not in the appropriate time of the month to fool the Jewish people, which was that Bezdin, as the Gemara will explain, would only wave their torches on the month which was sanctified on day 30, which makes the previous month into a chaser, into a deficient month, 29 days. Now, when they didn't go ahead and wave it on the evening of the 30th, meaning the night after the first day, what would be the first day of Rosh Chodesh. So then everyone knew that it's going to be a Chodesh Me'ubar, which means say that the previous month is 30 days, and only on day 31, which is what we celebrate, what's called the second day of Rosh Chodesh, which would be, that's going to be the new month. Now, one time, Bezdin was Me'abar the Chodesh, which means to say that they made it into a 30-day month, not 29 days, which means to say that the new month was on day 31. And therefore, they didn't wave any torches on the evening after the 30th, because they only did that when they were, Shigmo will explain the reason for that, when there was a Chodesh Chaser. But the Kutim went up on their mountains, and they waved their torches, and they confused all those in the diaspora to make it into a Chaser, to make it into a deficient, when really it was really a Chodesh Mole, and everything was really a day later. So therefore, his kinishi is shluchin yitzin. So that's why, as the Mishnah tells us, then they instituted that messengers to go out. Therefore, you could do that personalized way, because if we do it with these torches, then anyone who wants to intervene, like the Kutim did, can mess up the messages going out to those in the diaspora. Now, the Mishnah tells us, Ketzer ha-Masin Masuz, how did they originally, before the Kutim started messing things up, how did they go ahead and wave these torches? So, Mevi'in kul nusayis shal erez aruchin, they would bring these long poles of cedar wood, so that that's very tall, that they could see to a very far distance. The konim and reeds, v'atzi shemen and balsam wood, the na'irishal pishton and these shearings of these small little pieces of the flax, which all these increase the flame. The karach b'meshicha, and then they would tie it with a string of rope on the top of these poles, which would make this huge flammable thing on the top. The oilu shahar, and they would go up on top of the mountain, umatzis ben asar, and they would light on fire. Umaylech, maybe they would bring it to and fro, umayla murin, and up and down. Until he saw his friend on the second mountain, v'chim b'reshahar, shlish and so on, the third mountain, and so on, that he would wave it, and the other one would see, he would come wave it, and it would go on and on, the signals going out all the way to the diaspora. Now, me'ayin hoy masin masuras. Now, what were the names of the mountains from which they would wave these torches? So, mehar mishcha, they would start on the har hazeisim, on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Yerushalayim, until they saw that it was being done also on Lesartava, on Mount Sartava, Umesartava, Legrafina, Umgrafina, Lechavran, Umechavran, Lebespalten. These were the names of all the mountains that was going through this chain. Umebespalten, however, Lezazimisham, the one who was waving, didn't leave from there. Elamoylich, Umevi, Umayla, rather, he would go to and fro and up and down. Achahayaroya, Kol Hagoyla, Lefonim, until he saw the entire diaspora in front of him, which is a reference to the people in Bavel. Now, actually, it means just the people of Pumbedisa. And then the people in Pumbedisa would let it be known to all those who lived in Bavel. So it was, he would wave it until he would see the entire people of Pumbedisa, Kimedurus Esh, like as the Gemara explains, like it was one big bonfire in front of him, because everyone would go up on their roofs and would wave it. He would see the whole Pumbedisa lit up. Then he knew that the diaspora already heard about it. And then once it heard about it, they could tell the entire people of Bavel what it was. That's what they used to do. But once the Kutim started getting involved, so they had to stop that way of transmitting the message and had to do it through Shluchim. Now, the Gemara first asked on the terminology mentioned on Mishnah, that my mashma de Messian lishna diikaitu. From where do we know, which as we say that they originally used to be masin masuris, that it means to say that they used to wave these fires. How do we say that it's a term of lighting a fire? So like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says that in the beginning of that pasuk in Perikei pasuk Chav Aleph, it says vayazvu sham esatzabim, that they had left there their idols, and the pasuk there concludes vayisoim David vanashav, that David and his men, they were masiyit, which we interpret that in the Aramaic like Dina David, that David burnt them, lit them on fire, and that's why we're using the term in the Mishnah masin masuis, which is a term of having these fires on these sticks. So talking about the Brisa regarding the exact protocol, what they used to do. They wouldn't wave these torches. Only regarding a month that was seen in its time, meaning time means to say not a mu'ubar, meaning on day 30, not 31, l'kachay. In other words, to notify people that they had sanctified the first day available, not the second day, which is day 30, which makes the previous month 29, and day 30 becomes day 1 of the next month, that's when they would wave it. Now, when would they wave the torches? L'or iburay. To the evening of the Ibur, meaning to say, the night after the 30th day, which they had made Rish Chedesh, that following night, which is actually the beginning of day 31, that's when they would wave it. Now, the 30th day is called Yom Iburei, as the Gemara had said on Daf Yotesima Beis, the two others, that they sanctify them, Yom Ibureihem. Now, the reason why it's called that is because day 30 is the day that makes the previous month into a Chedesh Me'ubar. Therefore, that's called the Yom Ha'ibur. Now, in this case, we're obviously saying that the previous month is not, but it's that day, which is the Yom HaIbur, which is the one that would impregnate, which would then extend the previous month, Now that we made that the first day of Rosh Chodesh, that night is when they go ahead and wave the torches. Now, the Gemara says, remember, what this sounds like, the Brice is saying is, the Achasra Avdinan, that they would wave the torches only on the deficient month, Amalei Avdinan, but on the full month they weren't. So when Rosh Chodesh was on day 30, which makes the previous one Chasra, then they would wave to let everyone know. But if it was going to be a Malei, which 30 days, and then on day 31, which is the only of the two options, now that's left, then they wouldn't go ahead and wave the torches. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason for that? Why'd they only wave after the Chasra, not after the Malei? So Amar Bzeri says, because Gzer Mishum Rish Chodesh Chasra. It's a decree, we're concerned because of a time when Rish Chodesh will be from, meaning on day 30, from a deficient month, where the previous month coming out was Chasr. Now, Shechali is Be'erev Shabbos, if that happens to be on a Friday, now, if it is as we said, that we generally do it, that we have to Mekadosh Rish Chodesh during the daytime, so the first time we can do it, the torch is not going to be seen during the day, that first night is when we would wave it, which we said is the Oyer of the Iber, which is the beginning of the night of the day 31. Now, the night of Friday night, you can't do it because that's Shabbos. So they wouldn't be able to hold up the torches. So Emes Abdi, when would they have to do it on the Chasr? Ba'puki Shabbat, when Shabbos is over, on Matzah Shabbos. Now, Di'i Amrit Naved Named Amali. Now, if you would say that we would wave these torches not only when we make a Chodesh Chasr to let people know today we make a Chodesh and now tonight is when we're waving it, that we would do it even on the Malay. Then the Gemara continues, top of Chaf Gimel and Alv, Lemite, people would start getting confused, those who live in the diaspora, because Amri, they're going to say, now, what's going on over here? When they're waving the torches now on Matzah Shabbos, is it high Chasuhu? Is it really that it was a deficient month this last month? Really, Rish Chodesh was on Friday. Well, now, the reason why they didn't wave the torches last night on Friday night, Mishum Deleafshah, you can't wave them Friday night. And they're only doing tonight on Matzah Shabbos because it's the first opportunity. Or maybe, no, it's actually a full month. Now they're doing it in the appropriate time. And therefore, they wouldn't know. But now that we only do it by a deficient month, now when we do it on Matzah Shabbos, they'll know that it actually was Rosh Chodesh on Friday. We're just letting you know, because we only do it on the Chasr, and we just couldn't do it Friday night. You'll know that it's now we're doing it tonight on Matzah Shabbos, but because really from Friday. But if they did it by both, then they wouldn't know. In such a case, when day 30 would be Friday, and they're waving on Matzah Shabbos, where is it telling you because Shabbos was Rosh Chodesh, or was it Friday, just they couldn't have waved it on Friday night? And that the Gemara asks, but what do you mean? Okay, v'la'avid b'ina moli b'ina chasin. No, you should still go ahead and wave the torches, whether it's a full month or a deficient month. Now, v'chimekala Rosh Chodesh b'ina Shabbos, regarding the case that you said that the gezeri, they'll be confused with Rosh Chodesh, meaning day 30 is on Friday, lo yilevid klal, in such a case, don't wave the torches at all. Now, since in this case you won't be doing it on Matzah Shabbos, but Vavdina Amole, but generally, as we're saying, that you would normally do it when it was a Chodesh Mole, then Meidu Yadi the Chasru, then they'll know that the reason why you're not doing it is because it actually was a deficient month, and it was only because of Friday night that you couldn't have waved it last night, and that's why you didn't do it. Now, by not doing it tonight, you're illustrating, wait a second, if it would have been Mole, they would have done it tonight. Now, obviously, they didn't because it was Chasr, and they just didn't do it the night before because it was Shabbos. Now, the Gemara says, no, afil hachi aslo miti. Still, they're going to get confused. Because Amri hai malahu, they're going to say it's not true. No, maybe it was a full month. Really, Rosh Chodesh was today on Shabbos. V'haydele avdin, the reason why they didn't wave it tonight was a snusi. Who this snusi? Something happened that they weren't able to because they got drunk from the meal on Shabbos, and that's why they didn't do it. But they still won't be sure, was it really Friday, and it's just because they couldn't do it Friday night? Or maybe it was really Shabbos, it just something happened that they weren't able to light the fires. And that's why we don't want to go ahead and do it on Malei, because we'll get this confusion, so we always only do it on Chasr. So the Gemara says, fine, we can't do both, because then we'll have this confusion in this case. But v'la'avad on Malei, do it only on the full months, v'la'avad on Chasr klal, and don't do it at all on the deficient ones. And therefore, when Rish Chodesh, that's deficient, would happen on Friday, meaning day 30 would be on Friday, and you wouldn't do it, then people are going to know that it's deficient, and they won't say that it was because of drunkenness, because we'd rather say that it's something that's more common, because every Chodesh Chasr we don't do. Here also, that they didn't do. In other words, this would clarify for ourselves, we wouldn't have the problem of this case. We would know what the halacha is if we're not doing it on Matzah Shabbos. So why don't you say such a case? So Abaye says, you're right, but that would be a different problem. Then people wouldn't be able to work for 2 days straight. And that is, if you would say that we always would do on the Malei, not on the Chasr, then there would never be a Rosh Hashanah that the people in the diaspora would not be able to work. There would have to be at least 2 days that they couldn't work. Now, the reason is because day 30, maybe this is the first day of Tishrei, and this is Rosh Hashanah. Day 31, also they would have to say that maybe they were ma'abru the Chodesh of Iyar, and actually maybe today is really Rosh Hashanah. However, now that we light the torches on the Chaser, so that means to say that the evening after day 30, they already know that the past day, day 30, was Rosh Chodesh, and then they'll be able to do work tomorrow, and then the people won't have to miss work 2 days in a row. It would only be when they actually make it into a Chodesh Uber, which we said generally it was always Chaser, so therefore, most of the time, actually, they won't be missing 2 days' work. It will be only one. If it's Ma'ubra, then they will have to wait and then have 2 days Yom Tov. But when there is, but since we're generally doing it by the Chaser, well, then they're going to celebrate the first day of Rosh Hashanah. They'll keep Rosh Hashanah because they're not sure. But then that night, they'll see them waving the things. Oh, that means today was Rosh Hashanah. It was Rosh Chodesh. And then tomorrow we don't have to. But if we always did it by Malay, they'll never know until after that's done, because they're not doing on Chaser, because you can't do both, as we said, that would be confusing. So we had to wait, although they'll end up finding out, but 2 days they'll have to celebrate out of doubt, and then 2 days they're going to be missing the Malacha, which we didn't want that to happen, and that's why we always made on the Chaser and not on the Malacha.